I'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And today our radio sponsor is David Hess in honor of Dee's birthday. Happy birthday. And we have special music by Dottie Senior's Exile.
Y'all, they say when we get to heaven, we'll sing with angel voices. Until then, I'm just going to use the one he gave me here, okay?
Stranger in a strange thing, wandering like a nomad. Nothing around here feels anything like home. Thirsty in a desert, wondering if I'll ever get back to where I belong. But there's still a promise, there's still a song, there's still a rock where my help comes from. Hope is not lost, hope is not gone, even in exile. Fire by night, cloud by day, God of all heaven gonna lead my way. No matter how long, still gonna praise, even in exile, I'm marching on. Got a miracle-working father, moving mountains, parting waters. Impossible is just what he does. Got my hands up in the battle, come what may, it don't matter. I know this war is already won. There's still a promise, there's still a song, there's still a rock where my help comes from. Hope is not lost, hope is not gone, even in exile. Fire by night, fire by day, God of all heaven gonna lead my way. No matter how long, still gonna praise, even in exile, I'm marching on. Even in exile, there's still a promise, there's still a song, there's still a rock where my help comes from. Hope is not lost, hope is not gone, even in exile. Fire by night, fire by day, God of all heaven, who's gonna lead my way? No matter how long, still gonna praise, even in exile, I'm marching on.
Thank you, that was awesome. And now we're going to have our scripture, which is James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And I just have a little thing. I hope we really pay attention. This one's one that sometimes I really like. I really have to pay attention to, because sometimes I speak my mind and not think first. And sometimes I bite my tongue really hard. So anyway, hope you all listen and enjoy the scripture. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into our mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Thanks for the word, God.
Thanks be for the word of God. Let us pray before our message. Father God, we come to worship you with our mouths, with our voices, and with our hearts. We come to honor you, God, by honoring the power of our words. We come to receive grace and to let grace sing out through our lives. God guides and empowers us. God saves and sustains us. Amen. Beloved, I knew when I planned this. You see, before our trumpeter comes out, I have to give Kathy all of the scriptures and sermon titles for the next 2 months. And last week, and most especially this week, I went, I'm going to be preaching to myself. It says not many of you should become preachers and teachers, because you will be held to a higher account. And like my beloved sister said, I struggle sometimes with what comes out of my mouth. I have hoof and mouth disease, and stuff pops out. I have ADD to the max, and if it enters my brain, it pops out my mouth. But I have a loving heart, a listening ear, and a shoulder for people to lean on. So I have my faults and I have my flaws, and my God knows them well, but he still uses me. The tongue is a world of iniquity. It is an unruly evil, full of poison. Out of the same mouth, we speak forth blessings and curses. Out of the same mouth, I lift my Lord on high. I pray for all of you. And the same tongue speaks forth complaints. Now, beloved, don't get me wrong. We all need somebody to vent to. We all need to complain sometimes. I'm a verbal processor, so the way I figure things out is to pick somebody to talk to. When it is really important concerning the church, I pick Mark and Cassie because they're the appropriate people for me to work through those issues with. We all need to vent. But have you ever heard the saying, don't throw gas on the fire? When people are standing around the water cooler at work, when people are gathered in the parking lot, when we are having meetings, sometimes we vent and we complain. I am going to tell you, beloved, to find someone trusted to verbally process with. But when you're standing in a group of people who are gossiping, do not pour gasoline on the fire. Pour scripture, pour water, pour healing, pour blessing on the gas fire. If ever there was a service where we need to pay attention to our words, to how we talk to the Father, to everything that we do, it's this one right here. When I first came to the Lord, I had a mouth like a sailor, and God help me, words still slip out now. But I don't think that's what James is talking about. He's not talking about cuss words. We Christians get all offended if somebody cusses. But we don't have any problem passing on the juicy details to someone else. I even learned to train myself. Never, ever take the Lord's name in vain. You know, there's a cute little thing now. We text it. We put it out on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatnot. OMG. Oh my God. I won't even say that. You all can if you want to, but for me, out of respect for my Lord, I say, oh my gosh. I might slip sometime. You might hear me. Please remind me. So let's be careful of the words that we use to describe our God, because we might be the only Bible somebody ever sees. What comes out of our mouth about God our Father is the perception left in the hearts and souls of one another. So let us speak forth God's name in love. Let us remind people, even though our world is falling apart and it feels like everything's falling on our head, our God is there. He does listen. He walks with us and strengthens us through that. Pay attention to how often our speaking is part of our prayers, part of our songs, and part of our liturgy. Our worship often reminds us that we need to speak. We need to speak forth truth sometimes, but it needs to be done in love and in prayer and not impulsively popping out of our mouth, as I do sometimes. Yet, we also are called upon to encourage others by opening our mouth and speaking about our faith, even with the caveats that James has in this text. Be careful, teachers, because you will be held to a higher account. I still want to teach. Worship calls for a response, and one of those responses is verbal. So speak. Call for speaking. Tell your story. Tell the story. But do it intentionally and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The Word of God tells us that He will give us words. So when we need to go to one another in love and say, you know, maybe what you're doing, you know, we do it in love. We use Scripture. We talk to someone else first, and we err on the side of love always. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. Strong words James uses here. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in God's likeness. Has anything ever gotten you in more trouble than the tongue? I said, I've got hoof and mouth disease. I am the poster child for ADD, truly, unmedicated. If it comes in my head, it ends up popping out my mouth. I'm really working on it. Remind me. Say, wait, let me get this out. And I'll behave. I'll listen most of the time. One of the quotable sayings that I try really hard to live by is the great philosopher Socrates. He says, it is better to remain silent and be thought of a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. Been known to do that. That's a difficult thing for a preacher to remember. We're not accustomed to remaining silent. When Oliver Wendell Holmes was asked how one can be elected to public office, not that I want to be, but his advice was amazing. And I'll tell you, one of the people who lives out this advice the most is right up there. He has a listening ear and a heart of gold. To be able to listen to others in a sympathetic and understanding manner is perhaps the most effective mechanism in the world for people getting along with one another. Too few practice the white magic of really listening to one another. I know my mind can spin in a thousand places, but I try to remain fully present when I'm listening to somebody who's in deep conversation. My oldest daughter, most of you know I have a strained relationship with her. Rightfully so. I hurt her really bad in my using and in my mess. Sometimes she blasts me. None of her siblings can tell the truth from a lie. She still deserves my full attention. And the other day, I was listening to her, and I was trying to tell her, well, you can do this and you can do that. Mom, stop trying to fix me and just listen to me. She was 100% correct. And this quote, when I ask you to listen to me and you start giving me advice, you have not done what I have asked. When I ask you to listen to me and you begin to tell me why I should not feel that way, you are trampling on my feelings. When I ask you to listen to me and you feel you have to do something to solve my problem, you have failed me. Strange as that may seem. Perhaps the most powerful benefit to prayer is we know, or I hope we know, in the depth of our being that God is always listening. He might not answer our prayers in the way that we would have it. He might take a long time in His time, but we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is indeed listening to us. Socrates once had this young man come to him. He wanted to be taught because Socrates was a great orator. He was a great speaker. And the young man came to Socrates. And from the moment he approached him, an incessant stream of talking came out of his mouth. When Socrates was able to get a word in edgewise, he said, young man, I'm going to have to charge you double. The young man said, double? What? Socrates said, because I've got to teach you two sciences. One, how to shut that mouth of yours. And he said it different, but I'm not standing by my notes. One, how to shut that mouth of yours. And two, how to speak with wisdom. I think we could all learn from that. The gift of speech is one of the greatest gifts that our God has given us. With words, we can compliment someone. We can teach our children. We can give directions to the lost. Thank God somebody does. We can give hope to those who are hurting, those who are depressed. We can express our own love, our own fear, our own pain. Unfortunately, this wonderful gift is a double-edged sword because we can abuse it for gossip, for slander, for complaining and negativity, or express hatred and anger. I love how the Holy Spirit works. Tony Ann got done with her message, and I was like, all right, we can go home now. But since we've got other stuff planned, I'm going to continue on. Christians make a big deal out of somebody cussing. We get all kinds of offended. But again, that is not James' point. He is referring to the use of our speech against other people. When we talk to other people, our words can cut deeply. Verbal violence will harm us much more deeply than physical violence. Physical violence, I'm going to recover 9 out of 10 in a week. Verbal violence, what you have spoken about me hurts my soul. And I'm going to carry that around with me for years without healing and without help. What others have said about us or to us is not our responsibility. However, healing is our responsibility. We need to come to the Lord. We need to go to another person. We need to heal so that that root of bitterness does not come up out of us and out of our mouth and cause harm to others. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 12:18. Ask yourself before you speak, is this necessary? Is this truth? Will this be used for good or for harm? If you can't answer those questions, zip it. I love to practice the art of blessing all through the Word, especially in the Old Testament. We see how important blessing is. Fathers blessed their children. Kings blessed the people under them. There are blessings all through this Word. Those blessings were more important than any riches the person could offer. Look at Esau. He wanted that blessing more than the legacy of his father. The art of blessing can change someone's life. I am who I am because people periodically poured into me. During my trauma, during my mess, they poured blessings into me. They taught me to speak life. Each and every one of us have the opportunity to do that for someone else. My grandmother never let me forget this one. I think she went to her grave resenting me. I was born on August 27, 1963, the day of Martin Luther King's great emancipation speech. You know, the one where he turned and twisted it at the end and spoke from the heart about, I have a dream. Yeah, my grandmother planned to be there, but I came. She never let that one go. All through the night, King wrote that speech over and over and over again, and his friends advised him, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And there is great value in letting the Holy Spirit speak through you and take control of the service. But any speaker, any preacher, any teacher knows you best be prepared. You best have something. And then you let the Holy Spirit direct. He prepared it. He passed it out to the media because he wanted it in black and white. He wanted what he said to be known so nobody misconstrued it. About halfway through, he realized his friends were right. The Holy Spirit raised up in him and he began speaking forth, I have a dream. Not scripted, not planned. One of the most powerful speeches known to mankind. The Spirit of God worked through him, and the Spirit of God works through us when we speak to others as well. Sometimes we do need to speak truths to others that aren't so comfortable. Isaiah 54 tells us, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue. Because if we're in his word and we're reading it, we have been instructed on what that tongue should say and should not say. To know the word that sustains the weary. enter into their world before you speak. As we become more skilled at abandoning negative speech, like Tony Ann taught us, and implementing patterns of gratitude and thankfulness, we will discover that others will look to us for encouragement and hope. For we will be God's own ambassadors. You know, Chad is one who gives a lot of encouragement and hope. And I had to apologize to him yesterday as we were delivering meals. Because for the last month or so, every time he walks up to me, I'm in the middle of something extremely important. Talking to another church, talking to the conference superintendent, something I can't get away from. But the fact that I push him away can leave a negative imprint on his spirit. So I apologized to him. I told him how important he was to me. I love how he encourages people and how he comes alongside of our children. In just a minute, we are going to play a song that is so powerful. And I invite you, when we play that song, to come to this altar, to lay down the lies people have spoken over you, to lay down the lies the enemy has whispered in your ear, to lay down the lies you have spoken about yourself, to pick up the truth. And the truth is, beloved, each and every one of you are a child of God. The truth is, He created you to be exactly who you are. So quit comparing yourself to others. He created you with powerful gifts, and He works through those gifts.
How many times can you hear the same lie before you start to believe it? The enemy keeps whispering to me, swear these days it's all that I'm hearing. I used to know who I was, now I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is, I am my Father's child. I make Him proud and I make Him.
and that.